Welcome to the Midday Cafe. Producer Steve Castellani here. Let's get started with today's show and your host, Michael Gennady. Michael, take it away.
Oh, hey, Steve, thank you. So this is Mike Gennady here for Midday Cafe, kicking off an exciting new format, new season, and we hope you'll be joining us. So today we've got a lot in store for you. First of all, you can always get to us in all past episodes are archived at www.mtcstudios.com that you can see on the screen in back of me here, and we'll have the archive of this video afterwards. Today we have a special show. I am very excited, but before we get started, real quickly, Midday Cafe is brought to you by Worldwide MTC Studios, coming to your local MTC studio today. Skype Broadcasting, new tech TriCaster that we use to mix all this together and record, Skype TX, that you'll be seeing your remote presenters today. Microsoft Azure, Microsoft partner Sitecore, who designed our website, and finally, that runs on Sitecore, and finally, Microsoft partner Perficient. Real quickly, today's episode, we're gonna have the following. We're gonna be talking Microsoft Tech News, then we're gonna have the Microsoft Store and their debut talking about Device of the Week. Then we'll have Mark Cashman from the product team, SharePoint Online, talking about modern intranets, and finally, upcoming events. Real quickly in tech news, and we will have links for you. So we're kind of juggling around. I'm looking at the clock up there, checking my timing. But we have on the MTC site today, you can see videos on the following that we posted last Friday. There is a Michael on the go call via work for Skype. Shows we have Tariq Hamid showing all the scenarios with Cisco integration and others around call via work for Skype. Check that out. We also have another video this month in Azure with Todd First talking about Azure AD Join. You're going to definitely want to check out that story as well. Finally, three news stories off of the Microsoft Office blog. Ringing the new year with OneNote class and staff notebook updates. If you are a teacher, a student, if your school's using class notebooks or staff notebooks, check out the news on this. There's all kinds of great updates to take advantage of. Come on in, Todd First. Todd First is walking into the studio. Also, we have a link we're going to be providing you for empowering students with Genius Hour, because Todd likes geniuses. Woo. That's right. And this is part one, accepting your genius. I would accept mine, but I'm not. So I can't accept it, but students can. And so actually what they've provided here is a number of lessons plans for teachers, helping students to realize their potential. You're gonna wanna check that out. And finally, for all you organizations out there utilizing Office 365 and related to something that we're gonna hear from with Mark Cashman today, there is a news story that we'll have the links on. Office 365 Groups now supports e-discovery, litigation hold, dynamic memberships, yeah, you heard that right, dynamic, and more. So you're going to want to check out that link. And having said that, it's time for Toby Toronto and the Microsoft Store. You want to dial her in, Stephen? So we got Stephen's going to go ahead and conduct a Skype TX dial-in. And then we'll see her popping up in back of me as soon as she's live. Woo. She's live. So, Toby.
Hi.
Hey, how are you doing there?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
So, Toby, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what we're going to be doing with the Microsoft Store moving forward.
Can you hear me okay?
I hear you perfect.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine.
Yes. Welcome. So my name is Toby Toronto. I am the store manager of our Microsoft Store located in the King of Prussia Mall. We are super excited. We just opened this November, and we are the second store in Pennsylvania, but the first in our King of Prussia Mall.
Woohoo!
And yeah. So on November 7th, we hosted a ribbon cutting ceremony and presented more than $1.2 million in technology grants to some local nonprofit organizations in the local area as well as in the Philadelphia area. And We are just super excited to be part of the community. We had a great turnout for our opening day, and we look forward to seeing many more people in the Philadelphia area come to visit us.
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful location. It is a beautiful facility. I know I went in there with my family. I've been in a couple times with my wife, with my kids. We picked up some knickknacks for their Windows phones, and people should be coming out. So
yeah, well, we are here to represent the best of what Microsoft has to offer, and we are a place for customers to come to interact with our technology and yep. be the best resource for our community when it comes to technology.
And I think that's important. You know, a lot of customers, they want to get their hands on, you know, there's all these new Microsoft devices, and being able to actually go in, get hands on, and then having experts right there that can walk them through, help them to see what works best for them and their work styles, I think that's pretty valid, very important.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have a full assortment of best-in-class products, mm-hmm. Including desktops, laptops, tablets, all-in-ones that all run Windows 10. We also have Xbox consoles and Windows phones, as well as an array of third-party software titles
yep.
and accessories to go along with everybody's computing needs.
So moving forward, I know we're going to be having you guys showcase a device every week, right?
That's correct.
So we'll be actually starting next week, you know, in store or whatever, being able to showcase those. But what are some of, besides the devices, you mentioned software, what are some of the services that the store can provide folks that they may not even be aware of?
Absolutely. So our biggest service is our answer desk. And our answer desk is a place where we have technicians on site for you to come and get your questions answered, as well as your products cared for with tune-ups. And also, should you have any problems with your product, we're here to also help fix your products as well. Our answer desk is there for consumers as well as businesses. So when you think about your IT department, and they're not always available to you at your needs, we are there. We are also there past normal business operating hours. So you can come and visit us on the weekends and the evenings for any of your technology needs.
Very cool.
We also have a in-store community theater, and in our community theater, we actually showcase events, and we have free workshops. Currently, we have workshops to learn about our feature products such as Surface Book, Band 2, and Surface Pro 4. As you see, Mike is holding his Band 2, and there's mine too.
Awesome.
So you see it there. Of course, there we go. And we are also currently running a host of Youth Spark camps. Which is a four-part series, and we are doing it as a Dream It Big series starting this week.
Oh.
We have intermediate as well as beginner classes.
And when
and
are
you
those?
Can sign up for those on our website. I'm sorry?
When are those?
Those are happening the whole month of January as well as into February.
Cool.
And you can sign up on our website. They're free. And it's really to help kids become more innovative and inspire them to learn how to code their own games, which is pretty fun.
That's cool. So we'll make sure then after the break, or you know, after we post up our archive around this, we'll go ahead and make sure we have links to those. So if folks want to, you know, have their kids, right, attend one of those camps, they can go and sign up.
Absolutely. And also to let any teachers who are out there know, we have teacher academies that we do as well, and you will see those posted on our website, or you can visit us for more specific school teacher trainings that we will do.
So really, whether you're a consumer, somebody in small business, or even out of hours business person who needs some help, you guys have facilities, you have and help for those folks. You've got training and active events that people can go in. where you're actually doing workshops for students, for teachers. There's you have guest speakers, et cetera. I do have one question, though, Toby.
Absolutely.
So since it is the theater, will there be any Shakespeare?
Only if you attend,
Mike. Only if I come in. Okay. How about thee? I think people, I'd probably scare people away. But that's awesome. So anything else going on? Any promotions or sales or anything we should be aware of?
Yeah, so we are always looking to provide great value to our customers, and we are consistently running different promotions. And currently for this week, when you buy a Surface 3, yep. you will get a free type cover that's oh. valued at $129.
Booyah.
Yep. And we also have, and you mentioned it with our bands here, you can trade in your smart watch or any fitness tracker you have and get up to $35 off of a new band too.
So I have a question. Does it depend, is there any limitations on the condition of said device?
Well, it does need to be working.
Working
so
order.
So we will come in and we will evaluate it for you.
Gotcha.
And certainly help you with that.
So if somebody has like an old Fitbit or something like that, that they've been using and they want to really get up. And by the way, Toby, so I don't necessarily say it's competing because we're one Microsoft, but I actually saw the other day the hostess on QVC Saturday morning. My wife came in and she was like, hey, check it out. And they were running the band on there and talk. And the hostess said how she had retired her other device. I won't name it. But that's what she was wearing. So, but this gives you a chance to get in there and get your hands on.
Absolutely. And, you know, learn about how the band can benefit you and get more out of your device is what we will do in our theater. You know, I think coming and visiting the store is probably the best way yep. to see Microsoft products, touch Microsoft products, and talk to Microsoft experts. I think a lot of times we think about things that are software related with Microsoft, and you can come in and actually experience the software yep. hands-on live and get your questions answered for things that we all use every day, like Microsoft Office.
And so, I know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. So I would say, you know, being able to come in and touch our key products as well as our
we came in a bunch of guys from the MTC a little while ago, and we had been messing around with Continuum and the 950, but using just Bluetooth and syncing up. You guys had a great display set up with a 950 XL and Continuum onto a big gorgeous monitor. And after that, we ran out and we got ourselves one of those docks. And
absolutely,
because the hands-on said it all.
Absolutely, and that is the benefit of coming to the store. And I would welcome you back as well, Mike, as well as all of your viewers, to please come in and stop in and see us. Say hello. I promise next week we will be broadcasting from the store so we can show you devices.
Awesome. And I heard we're going to be seeing a Surface Book next week.
That is true. But you don't have to wait until next week to come in and see it.
That's right.
We have plenty of them for you to actually hold in your hand and test drive, as well as experiencing some great benefits of Windows 10, like Windows Hello.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Toby. I appreciate it. So I look forward. We'll be next time calling, and next week we'll be calling you up, taking a look at the Surface Book and others. And I'm excited to have this new partnership with you guys to get out there so folks can see the latest and greatest that Microsoft's doing.
Thank you so much, Mike. We are so excited to have the partnership, and we look forward to seeing all of your viewers next week, as well as anybody who'd like to come and say hello at the store.
Awesome.
Have a wonderful day.
You too, Toby. Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right, so that was our first inaugural segment. We're going to be actually live out of the store next week, so looking forward to that. But I think We have a special guest that we're going to be. So why don't we go ahead without further ado, Stephen, and let's dial up Mr. Mark Cashman back in Redmond.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am doing great. We were just talking with our local King of Prussia Microsoft store. We had them dialed in live and talking about all the goodies. We're talking about bands and phones and display docks for the Lumias. And now we got you.
They get to talk about all the stuff that you can actually touch and feel and go get and put in your fingers, right?
They do. And it's exciting, all the services and things they can offer. But, you know, Mark, what I, you know, a lot of folks have been very excited about the intranets and things that we're doing with Office 365 and SharePoint Online. So I was very excited to be able to get your time today. And so why don't you go ahead, introduce yourself, and tell us what we're going to be talking about today and what folks can ask you questions about.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of stuff. It has its roots in SharePoint. You know, if you think about SharePoint as a great destination for sites and portals and a place to manage your content, search and discovery of both content and people. The real genesis of that, obviously, is the modern intranet or you know, from a while ago, just the intranet.
Yep.
And so I'm going to be covering a lot of space, you know, again, with its roots in SharePoint, but really getting into some of our other properties and experiences. A little bit more weighted in this topic in Office 365, primarily because we've got this session today and then next week, same time, to go a little bit more into on-premises and hybrid, everything that sort of bridges the gap in between.
Yep.
So I'll focus a lot on what we're doing in Office 365, sort of the basis of SharePoint and experiences that we've built off that, things like Office 365 Video, Delve, Groups, and some of what we're doing certainly with OneDrive for Business as well. All of those have a center of gravity around SharePoint, even if the end user or even maybe even admins aren't thinking everything SharePoint. But I'll get into a lot of the main points of SharePoint as well, around SharePoint Online, sites and portals, and we'll get into a lot.
Cool. So I do know, just to kind of throw this out there, and I've seen Stephen, evidently people are already typing in and interacting. But what you can do, just to let you know, if you are watching this video live, down below the video portion, there is a live Q&A piece where you can post questions. Producer Steve on the back. Say hello, Stephen.
How are you guys doing out there?
All right, Stephen, say it. Hello. He is going to be watching those. He'll queue those up as they come in, and when there's a logical point, we can break or we can tee them up at the end. So feel free, ask away your questions as you are seeing things, even give us shout outs. Love to hear from you. And with that, I'll let you, Mark, go ahead and direct me, and we'll start into your presentation.
Yeah, we'll jump in. And just to let everybody know, I'm Mark Cashman. I'm on the SharePoint team on the marketing side of things. And I work very closely with our engineering team and certainly with customers and partners. And really here today to showcase everything that we're doing around the modern intranet powered by SharePoint. And if you have questions today, if you have questions tomorrow, I'm pretty easy to reach directly via email, or if you want a more general question, either through the broader Yammer network or through Twitter. But love to address it today. If you are here today, I'm thankful for that and wanted to make sure you get what you came for.
Awesome.
So the kind of a broad, you know, kind of first way to look at the modern intranet, which is just moving to the next slide, is kind of our way of saying, look, we know that there is a lot of customers that are on premises, and there's a lot of customers who are interested or moving to the cloud. And so if you look at this just from a descriptor of where can you deploy and where can you use SharePoint, and really what is it? You think about on the bottom in blue, this is SharePoint on-premises along with Exchange and Skype for Business, or if you still have Link or even other instances, certainly this is not a version-specific slide. This could be a mixture of 2010, 2013, thinking about 2016 across all of these servers, but they are deployed on your premises, and there's a lot that you may have done with these technologies over the years. If you're starting to look into Office 365, that's everything in the orange and top. And really the first main point here is that everything that was on-premises initially has moved to the cloud from capability perspective, from how you can then access it, and also then start to be able to blend it. That blending part, which is that hybrid component, really is what we'll talk about next week. But as just a connector here, it doesn't mean move everything to the cloud. That's absolutely a choice that you can make. But over time, it may mean that you move a workload like Exchange email, or move something like SharePoint team sites or personal documents, which now is OneDrive for Business, in the cloud. There is not one only way to do it. It's not on or off. It really is a mixture of, if you've got heavy investments in a custom business solution on premises, but can move team sites and OneDrive for Business and start leveraging mail in the cloud. There's a lot of benefits for moving to the cloud, but we also understand that there's big benefits for remaining on premises with some solutions. And it may be just over time, very budget oriented, very project based. What we hope is to at least identify everything that you can do in all of the locations. But more generically throughout this presentation, I'm just going to talk about it as a SharePoint capability. And certainly I'll indicate when it's cloud only, but my intent is really just to kind of focus on SharePoint as powering your intranet. But really, if you look at the landscape, we're very cognizant of the cloud. We're very focused on premises and continue with an upcoming release coming shortly. But hopefully you get a sense that we've got a broad landscape. Hopefully you see that as you have deployment choices, but also opportunities to take advantage of technology where and when you want to. So looking a little bit more, and then we'll get into kind of the meat of the presentation. But on the next slide, just want to focus a little bit on really the components of the modern intranet. And here I get pretty granular, and then I'm going to walk through each of these in a bit of detail. And maybe pause at each interim just to take questions, Mike, if you see them.
Sure.
If they're coming in about the specific section, or if they're more general, it certainly we can handle it in whatever way. But first, we have Office 365 Video. This is one of our ready-to-go portals that we offer through Office 365. And really, as its name sounds, it's really a focus on bringing an enterprise-grade video streaming solution within your intranet. But it is running in Office 365 backed by Azure Media Services. Another area, which is really built on the search engine originally from SharePoint, the search engine in Office 365 is already by default extended through SharePoint, Exchange, Skype, instant messaging conversations, and the like, and really powers some of our e-discovery capabilities. It also has a component where you can extend it to on-premises. And through Delve, which is our experience layer, really the value that we're adding here is not only so you can search and find content, but that you actually get content promoted to you via machine learning, and that through the Delve interface, you see content that really is relevant to you based on people you interact with, content you're interested in, your habits and behaviors, not looked at in a weird Big Brother way, but just in a way that we know what you're doing, and we're gonna then showcase content around you and people around you based on those interactions and interests that you've portrayed, but again, bubbled up through machine learning. Then with team sites, really this should be bread and butter if you know SharePoint from any version in the past or online. And really this is a core value where teams get together, share project information, work on documents, can build custom solutions for their specific needs, and be empowered to get work done at their level. And certainly if need be, bubble that up through the full cross-company or something at a level of a portal. Which leads me to the final point, which of course you can build custom portals. Your company intranet or sub portals can run on SharePoint. They can be very publish oriented, so if you're publishing content and information, but they can also be very transactional, again, with business solutions connected to other systems on the back end, and that can be pretty extensible. But at the core, you really are looking at sites and portals and experiences that are intelligent. That's really that layer of relevance, which we call the Office Graph, and I'll spend a little bit more time on that when we talk about Delve. Social in nature, both in the Office Graph in the way that it can promote ideas and concepts to others based on activities that you're doing, but also certainly through properties like Yammer, and to be able to post and share much more easily your content and have a conversation around it. Mobile by nature, we're building a lot of mobile apps, but we certainly are cognizant of the mobile experience. If you're coming through on a 4-inch device or something like a tablet or certainly a PC or Mac, we want to make sure that it's accessible both through the browser, but also from a form factor experience that you can experience the discovery, the work, the reading of what is on your intranet. And then the concept of ready to go is not necessarily new in the concept of, if you think about something in the past like the Fab 40 templates, mm-hmm. we want to get you a quicker time to market to get the sites and portals built that you want. and certainly then layering on to the use and adoption of it. But now we're really building more final solutions, and the one that I'll talk about today is Office 365 Video. At the bottom here, I won't go into too much detail because hopefully I've been talking about it, but really is being powered by services and really other brands that we have that are giving us capabilities that we wouldn't be able to give just through SharePoint alone. And so if you look in that bottom bar, you'll see a lot of technologies or services or really even APIs, if you think about it from a developer's perspective, that gives this modern intranet a much more broader integration potential. And some of it we do by default, some of it are things that you can then build and extend. And it really is a ton of information, or a ton of innovation that's just in SharePoint. So again, carries through to both online and on-premises. But if you think about some of these services running in Office 365 or running in Azure, that's where we're really tapping into to give you what we want to give you as an experience based on feedback that we've received. But also, if you think about from an IT and a developer's perspective, we want you to be able to bring that in and together much more easily. So let's go through a couple of these sites and portals and destinations. And I'll go a little bit quicker here and pause for sure for Q&A. But Mike, anything before we really jump in?
Well, Stephen, we got anything?
Yeah, we have a few questions, if you wouldn't mind answering now.
Sure. So why don't you come out of full screen for a second? And what's your first question we have?
If I just get SharePoint Online, not the full O365, do I still get Office Video, Delve, and the groups you mentioned?
Okay, so if I get Office 365, but not what?
If I get SharePoint Online, but not the full O365, do I still get Office Video, Delve, and groups?
Gotcha. So this is, I think, more of a licensing, Mark, but they're asking if they get just SharePoint Online, but not full 365. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say they're not talking like E3 or something. They want to know if they'll still get some of the things like video, Delve, and others.
Yeah, currently today, with the way that licensing is, it's very much a licensing question. But technically as well, if you sign in and your SharePoint Online Plan 1 or Plan 2 only, you will not see Office 365 Video or Groups or Delve.
Yep.
They really are a sweet motion. And primarily from both the licensing and a technical perspective, all of the three are heavily connected beyond SharePoint. So Delve by nature is connected to SharePoint, but it's also connected to Exchange Online.
Yep.
It's connected to Skype for Business. It's really programmed and tuned to other services that are triggering the experience within the Delve UI. With Groups, it connects pretty much everything across the suite. So if you have a Groups that you've created, it already has a calendar, it's already got a conversation, and you'll see other services like Planner coming to it, where really across the Office 365 suite, Groups just enables a group of people to be permissioned for all of those suite services, not just one, not just a SharePoint only service, SharePoint Online. And then with Office 365 Video, we have a direct tie-in to Yammer, we have a direct tie-in to SharePoint, we're tied into Azure Media Services on the back end. So the way that we've created these solutions is really an integrated solution across multiple services, and where we put the value is in the suite, which is E1 through now E5, and you would get access to all of those technologies even with just E1.
And that really makes sense. Why don't we take one more question and then we'll move on.
Can SSO between SharePoint Online and Yammer be implemented seamlessly today for an organization? And if so, what is the best way to approach it?
Yeah, I heard the question, I think, as far as single sign-on between SharePoint Online, Yammer, and probably extending that just from Yammer to any other service within Office 365. The work that they've been doing really over the last couple of years is to be able to improve the navigation from wherever you go in the app launcher. If you start with Mail and you move to Yammer, if you're in Yammer and you move to SharePoint Online or Office 365 Video, there's a lot of new settings within the last few months where they've set up so that you can optimize and even more improve based on a specific setting within an IT or admin control. But we also know that it's still not perfect in terms of it's not as seamless as some of the movement between other services. But if you compare to a year ago, it's leaps and bounds beyond. As Yammer becomes closer in terms of where it's physically located, in terms of the service moving into the Office 365 data centers, similar data centers as far as where Azure runs from. It's part of our overall plan in terms of integration, starting from when we acquired Yammer a long time ago, which certainly had no connections to Office 365 as directly as they do today. And then also just the engineering rigor behind it, where it's now being managed, deployed, and moved to. So you will see single sign-on get better. You will see the integration like that we have today between Office 365 video, where within a video, you can then bring Yammer up right in line within the video, in the video play page. And then you can post to Yammer straight from there, and then it just disappears seamlessly. There is no change of tab. There is no launch or change of page. The panel just slides out. And that's that embedded experience that we've done that integration for. Same experience you could build into your custom portal as well. And there are guidelines to follow in terms of making it so that that single sign-on works, and some further choices just for the broader navigating between services. But again, little still work to do, but I'd say we're definitely on track with a lot of the engineering work that's been planned.
Gotcha, thank you. Why don't we go back full screen, Stephen, and we'll queue up some questions a little bit later, and I guess we'll continue on with your next one. So we're on video.
Yeah, Office 365 video. So in the next really 20 minutes, I'm gonna be chugging through four main areas. And I'll go into really kind of what it is, and then a little bit either of the architectural makeup or just a design of page so you can get a sense of what the capabilities are. And again, if there are specific questions that come up about Office 365 video, I'll pause before we move on to the next section.
So I'll let Stephen be on the lookout then for 365 video questions. And then as before we end this segment, we'll queue those up. All right. All right. We're good, Mark.
All right, so Office 365 video, by nature of both its title and then the essence of what really is powering it, has three main components. And it's not just what you see here on the slide, but it is a part of the Office 365 suite, like we talked about with the question. And when you're in the app launcher or the navigation element that we have in the upper left to get from different services that are a part of Office 365, you would see the video tile, click into it, and then you will start to experience Office 365 video within Office 365. But a lot of the components are powered by SharePoint, powered by Azure Media Services, and together there's a nice integrated solution. And I think you'll see that in the next slide. But for here, the focus here is we really want to make it consumable, whether you're on a Macintosh, a nice 27-inch screen, if you're on a new Surface Book or Pro 4, if you're using any computer, you will have a great experience within the various browsers. And when I say various browsers, I really do mean any browser. We've focused a lot on these pages being optimized for HTML5. And also the video playback is not based solely on Flash, although we do have a Flash element where it's where it makes sense the way that some customers are deployed. But our primary experience is through a new HTML5 player that plays great across all devices, 4 inches up to even, I can't remember the high-end Surface Hub, but I think it's an 82-inch screen, and I've seen it there. And it looks really nice the way that it scales up and down. And as you would think, it's not just a smaller page, one that you have to pinch and scroll to. It really is responsive in its design. And our intent is to get it into the hands of people on the go. But we also do have an app that we delivered that's currently an iPhone app. And as you see the app, and I'll have a couple of screenshots in a second, it really is a native app that you get through the Apple App Store, plug in your Office 365 credentials, and you will see the Office 365 solution, but in a way that makes sense from an app perspective, much easier from a touch perspective, and then from a playback, we detect that you're on an iPhone, or we detect on whatever device you're on, and serve you up a great experience. Alongside that certainly is the intent of that we know we want to be able to share these and share them in a very easy way, whether that's through email, whether that's embedding it on a team site, or something like we were mentioning where you can post to Yammer. All of these experiences are very possible with the portability of the video, with the center of gravity being the Office 365 video portal, but at the same time, beyond the portal, there's a lot of places to be able to then have access to the video. And here's where there's that little delta I'll throw in about licensing, because the question came up. But if you did post a video to a team site, somebody who would then view that video from the team site would not be required to be an e-license. So if I was a kiosk SKU or a SharePoint Online only SKU, and somebody with an e-SKU had put in that video into a team site or a company portal, those people, of course, would not be blocked from viewing, and that's really our promise with the makeup of those pages. But anyway, not so much on licensing. Moving to really then the essence, which I'll kind of start to talk about this. Mike, if you can move to the next slide.
Sure. And just real quickly, did we have any specific video questions? No? Okay, good.
Okay.
Oh, the architecture.
The architecture slide. So this really is high level. Certainly, this is really just to showcase that we're integrating a lot of services across Office 365. And that we have a lot of what I think of as now intuitive experiences for both the person who uploads the videos, manages the videos, or ultimately consumes the videos. But really, it's split across a user interface in Office 365 through the web, as easily programmed if you wanted to do some of these programmatically through a custom solution. We have APIs that support all of what you see here as well. But to the end user, uploading a video goes into SharePoint Online, is where we store the original video. That video gets sent over to Azure Media Services, where we create a number of copies purely for optimized playback through what we call adaptive streaming. And everything, wherever the video lies, it's secured at rest, it's secured in transit, and it's also secure through playback. And that's all encrypted, and that's something that's not just Office 365 video, but it certainly applies to your videos when you put them in this environment. Once you have the videos in there, we extract thumbnails, we start to collect the metadata, and you can kind of see on the slide where a lot of the different components live. Hopefully, if you know SharePoint, a lot of its strength is around metadata management, information management, and that's where it also drives the search experience. Once it's in the search index, then Delve and the Office Graph have access to it, and you start to see videos that you've uploaded start to bubble up through Delve activity feeds, and that'll make a little bit more sense after I get through the next section. But if you've heard about Delve in the experience later, video certainly plays into that. And then if somebody takes a video and posts it to Yammer, or it starts to become part of a Yammer conversation in a number of ways, you certainly can then access it through Yammer and continue the conversation either on the Yammer mobile app or right in line on the playback page. And then finally, one of the newer components, but not too new now, is that now we feed everything into a content delivery network, which we're probably optimized right now on this webcast on a very similar CDN infrastructure. But nonetheless, here, this is something that is just a part of the solution that comes with the Office 365 investment, so that if you're traveling or you have a branch office at a distance, now they may be tapping into watching the video through the CDN that we manage and offer at closer endpoints beyond the original primary data center. So hopefully that gives you a good view of the solution. And since we want to show you a few things graphically, I think my next slide is a little bit around what it looks like on the mobile phone.
And I just wanted to highlight, Mark, you know, I've been talking to folks about Azure Media for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, you know, that people love it. And I have customers who had jumped to it even before we had the Office 365 video. But, you know, it really brings a layer of complexity. Plus, in addition to storage, they're paying for processing power, for bandwidth. Yep. And here, this is really a great, it's not just great architecturally, it's a great value, right?
Totally, yeah, and that's a great point to make, that certainly there's an investment in Office 365, but with that investment, you get the compute power of Azure Media Services on the back end, the storage of Azure Media Services, and then certainly a lot of that other additional services that we are already taking advantage of. But they have a huge, huge plethora of services that we'd like to take advantage of to keep innovating in the space of Office 365 video.
So this is really kind of one of those, you get on the biggest, fastest train and hitch up for the ride.
That's right. Hold on. Yeah, the cost of Azure Media Services is something that we incur and pass along at no cost to the end user.
That's beautiful.
And of course, the company.
Awesome. All right. I'm bringing up your next slide.
All right, so these are just a couple of visuals so that you can see what we're talking about. This is Office 365 video. If you went to the main homepage, at the top is a place to spotlight videos, and at the bottom, you'll see where it says trending. Currently, that's powered by the Office Graph, so there is a Delve experience that gives us relevance, but also we're starting to bake that into other sites and portals, and you'll see us invest in that a lot. But here where you see trending, it really is just what it sounds like, videos that have been uploaded recently that are getting high traffic. But over time, they may fall off here because we don't have We have a relevancy tuning that it comes every 14 days and then gets refreshed every 24 hours. So it shows you a nice span of time, but not one video that, you know, saw the most action forever. This will actually feel fresh. And then if you see at the bottom, you can also pin channels. So on the next slide, you'll see if I clicked into one of these videos, you would see a player page. And here, if you kind of think back to that architectural view, the video is being played back from Azure Media Services. The UI is coming from SharePoint and Office 365. Some of the recommendations, those videos on the bottom right, those are coming from the Office Graph telling me other things I might be interested in. And up in the right, you can see where there's an embed button, there's a send via email button, and there's also a post to Yammer button. And those are all other points of integration where if I clicked Yammer, it would do just what I said. It would open up a slide out, which is my next slide. And so if I now click Yammer, here's the Yammer feed. I can add to the Yammer or I can start a new conversation to a specific group or a specific person. And then when I'm done, it goes right back to playing. And this could be where the video is playing real time in the background. I want to post something over to Yammer and then I'm back to watching the video. Now, if I go to embed the video, I can certainly grab the embed code, go and do a very simple edit on a team site, or if I'm working on a custom portal, put the embed code in and have that experience there. And then the next slide will show if I've embedded it into a team site. And it'll play in line here. And if I wanted to, I could go full screen. If I wanted to, I could also click on the title in the bottom left of the video window, which would take me back to the video portal to the channel where it came from. But in essence, here is a way to extend video beyond the portal. And then what does this all look like in mobile? The next slide will show you with a couple of bullet points about what you can do with the mobile app. This is what it looks like on an iPhone. And you can see a lot of that same, all of the same content from the home page is just now here in a phone form factor. At the top, you could swipe through the different spotlit channel videos, and then you can navigate below to the different spotlight channels, ultimately going into sort of a backstage of this app to navigate to different channels, to search and find. But ultimately, if you wanted to, you could also upload. And of course, what most people are going to be doing through here is viewing the video. The next slide really just goes into a little bit more depth visually about what you can do and what it looks like. And certainly, if you have access to Office 365 video, I highly encourage you to go download this if you have an iPhone. And if you don't have an iPhone, you still have a really nice responsive web experience that adjusts to the size of your device and will play back just fine in your web browser.
Very nice. And so I was going to say, it's important to note that responsive design for the portal, it's out of the box.
That's right. And it is something that we're then going to carry over for how we're designing things in the future. Responsive pages are hugely valuable, but it also can be very costly in terms of if you're building your own solutions. So we support both. Certainly, we're not going to be building everything for all company needs. So if you go and build a custom portal or even at the level of a team site, you can build in responsive design. We are starting to do it with everything that we're doing by default. And really, everything that I'm walking through with video, with Delve, and some of the other things, they're all now responsive design so that if you don't have the app or you just happen to navigate on a different device, maybe at a business center or on somebody else's device, you'll still get a good experience even if you're not logged in through the app. But this is where we'll transition into Delve and walk through a little bit about more around how SharePoint powers Delve and what Delve gives you and how it complements the intranet. But Stephen or Mike, did anything else from a question perspective come up from video?
Yeah, we have a few video questions.
All right. So what do we got, Stephen?
First question. If we are already a full O365 subscriber, what is the largest video size that's supported?
So largest single file, I'm going to guess. They're saying what's the largest video size they can support?
Yeah, there's a couple ways to look at it. Certainly, if you think about from a duration perspective, from the testing that I've done, but certainly there really isn't an upper limit. But I often upload webcasts that are an hour or sometimes 75 minutes long, and those upload just fine. They transcode in the background and ultimately give me a really nice offering for people beyond, you know, who I'm offering that to into Microsoft. But from a kind of a technical spec perspective, you can upload now a video file up to 10 gigabytes. And this is something that we've not fully announced across all of Office 365. It's coming because we're just in the last mile of it. But really, we've been talking about it for a little while. The original upper bound was 2 gigabytes. And that's a limit of SharePoint Online. That's a limit of OneDrive for Business. It's a limit of anything that uploads into SharePoint or is going to go through SharePoint. And since Office 365 is built on top of SharePoint, it would be bound to that same upper limit. But as we move from 2 gigs to now 10 gigs as our upper limit, you would be able to then upload a pretty hefty size video. Certainly, if you're talking full HD, AVI, 5 hour long webinar or session that got recorded, you'd still maybe have to do a little work before you upload, but you would probably want to do that work anyway. But certainly it's something we're conscious of. If you have a 2 minute video that's high resolution, or if you've got a web video that you got off of Skype for Business or another a webinar service, you certainly should be able to bring that into the internet. And some of the ways that we're doing that, we hope to make it a lot easier to do from Skype for Business. Something that we showed at Ignite was the ability to take an on-demand recording and publish it directly into Office 365 Video. And you already have that capability in Office Mix, which is a great tool for creating your own content on your desktop and be able to literally push a button within Office Mix and get that in. Ultimately, whatever size of that file is, especially from a lot of those types of outputs, you're going to be well within the range.
Cool. Steven, you had another question?
Yeah. Does Office 365 Video offer transcription services, for example, for ADA accessibility?
So he's asking about the transcription. And I know that, I don't know, is that something we're able to talk about?
Well, I can talk about one side of it, and it'll kind of be a teaser to certainly something that we've talked about publicly, but we don't have, an official item on the roadmap. But certainly, if you can kind of read through the tea leaves of what's available to us to integrate with, one of the things that we do have on the roadmap today is the ability to support captioning, so that if you have a caption file that you've created, to be able to associate it to a video, and then via the time code, obviously play it back with the subtitles showing during the video. That is something that we're working on, and it's in a good state in terms of we've put it on the public roadmap a number of weeks ago, and typically that means it will be available in production, typically initially in first release, within about 2 to 3 months, and I think we're on track with that offering. The broader aspect that leads into is certainly the idea of speech to text, which has a lot of moving parts and pieces and certainly has some good technology behind it. But there is a component within Azure Media Services, like Mike and I were talking about earlier. We are built on top of Azure Media Services, but we're by no means tapping into 100% of it. And that's sometimes just a nature of resourcing and time, and of course, focus of the enterprise. But it is one area that they have a really nice service that's been around for a while in R&D, but they've now officially put it into production, and it's called the Azure Media Indexer. And it does exactly what it sounds like. It takes the media, indexes it, and gives not a 100% accurate translation, like if you were to do true captioning file with a human doing the typing and translating it perfectly. But it certainly does it across multiple languages, and it does it into English and gives you both a really great search experience, because you'll have a ton of metadata on the video file. And then, of course, it does it as best as it can from a machine learning perspective, an auto captioning file that then would play back through that same captioning service that we're working on. Beyond that, there's a lot of great innovation on top of that we are thinking about and wanting to bring to Office 365 Video. It is not a short-term deliverable, so I don't want to set anything up from a when it's coming, but it is something that we're definitely digging into. We're starting with captioning because that is really the impetus of your output, and we need to have that set up. And then we need to make sure that we can scale it across all of Office 365 or at least get a really good start on it before we start to bring it to market. But it is an area that we're looking at, and we have the backing of the Azure team that is really building the service that we would integrate with.
Oh, you have one more question?
Yes. Okay. With these videos, do we have retention policies and recycle bin capabilities?
They're asking about, Mark, if we have retention capabilities, retention policies that we can set, and also restore recycle capabilities.
Yeah, I'll reverse the question. My nature of, we do have the recycle bin on the roadmap, and I actually just saw a nice screenshot of its capabilities that the engineering team sent me. That really just indicates that it's moving along. And if you think about, by the benefit of being built on SharePoint, and I'll stretch here by really saying the SharePoint services, we have a ton of innovation that we can tap into that's almost native to Office 365. Because we really are built on a site collection per channel, The site collection already has a recycle bin, and the work that we need to do is to build a nice experience around how would you go in and recover a video.
Right.
Maybe that's a little bit different from recovering a document, maybe it's not, but it should have a similar look and feel through the UI that we present to a video owner through the portal. That being said, a lot of then what comes down into the future is other services that we can tap into. If you wanted to kick off a workflow, or if you wanted to set alerts, or like they're asking, if you wanted to set some retention policies, it's not work that we have committed in terms of short term, similar to what I was talking about with the media indexer, but we do get the feedback a lot of where people want certain things to happen, and that it plays into the broader information architecture of how people manage their content over time, and that's really bread and butter of SharePoint. And I do think it will be something that comes to play to the video content type. Primarily that might be through the portal. It could also be videos that are brought into OneDrive for Business, or videos that are put onto a team site document library. But we do want to be cognizant of how we can offer more management and control, especially when video becomes a pretty important component of people's intranet. But no announcement today, but certainly the basis of what we're built on will give us that capability. And it is something that we get a lot of feedback on. So we're putting it into the planning gears.
Awesome. So moving on, I see we're diving into Delve.
Let us delve into Delve. And Delve usually needs just a little bit more background by nature of it's a new offering through Office 365. It's really a new way to look at SharePoint. And maybe even by the end of this section, we will talk a little bit less about SharePoint, because it is its own experience. It has its own apps, its own destination. But what's powering it and what it really is building off of is to be able to go from search and have then search and discovery. So here's where Delve will give you an experience, both with content and people, to be able to work out loud, even whether you know it or not, but to be able to then maybe have fewer people contacting you, looking for something. They would just discover it by nature of your relationship. The meeting that you had with them, they would be able to then see your content that you've made available to them. So everything within Delve is not necessarily changing any permissions. It's just up-leveling the discoverability based on relationships between how people are looking for content, interacting with content, but even more importantly, how they interact with people. So who you know is very important into other people that you'll come across in terms of if you're looking for an expert or other people's content that you maybe don't go looking for, but it finds you. It's very much powered by what you do, and we call these insights now. And we also think that this is really something that will become a part of your everyday. Maybe not just the Delve UI, which is what we'll see here just in a couple of screenshots, but I mean from the essence of how you may program other sites and portals or apps or business solutions that are powered by that same underbelly, which is what we call the Office Graph, which gives you that intelligence layer of who does Mark work with, who does Mark work for, what content is he interested in, what content might be something that others are interested in, and have that be an experience layer that we add to our existing properties or some of our new ones in planning will really drive that personalization of the Office 365 experience. So if we go just a little bit forward, some of the concepts behind the Office Graph, and I'll be pretty quick here because yep. I think it's pretty straightforward okay. Once you start to think about it. And this has a couple of clicks to it, Mike.
Yep.
So as people are finding content, you can find content through people. So if one person works with the other, that other person may, of course, work with other people and start to experience finding those other people. And then, of course, those other people are working on other pieces of content. And again, if you just keep clicking, you'll see the way that then we start to pull in what they're working on, who they're working with. A lot of this then comes exposed to the original person, the person who's using the Delve interface or using the ability of the experience of the Office Graph. And then finding that other content or other people becomes very natural. On the next slide, you'll see that if you reverse that, you can find people through content. So you might have gone looking or discovered and started to click into a certain topic or a certain document, and you would find other documents. And ultimately, those other documents are owned or authored or being modified by other people. And then you would find additional subject matter experts. So it's that nature of finding people and finding other people, finding content and finding more content, and then the vice versa of just being able to see a lot of different people, a lot of content through their natural interactions And not just the interactions that you see directly with this piece of content, but sort of that 6 degrees of Kevin Office 365 bacon. brings you to a lot of people and a lot of content, and the Office Graph is really providing that. But the experience layer for the end user is through Delve, the Delve apps or experiences or people building on top of the Office Graph APIs, which is now called the Microsoft Graph. So moving forward, if I'm correct, it'll show you just a couple screenshots. This is, if I had clicked into the Delve tile, this is the main activity feed where you see cards, which is really these boxes that show you the content, why you're seeing the content, what you can do with the content, send it via email, post to Yammer. You can add a tag, which would create a board, which is a collection of content, more than just documents. It could be a video, it could be a blog post, it could be a website. There's a lot of things when you create a board within Delve. But then, of course, beyond content is people. And so if you click into somebody's profile, which is the next slide, if I were to then discover Mark or somebody else, I'd be able to read about them. I could read more into their content. If they were somebody who wrote blogs, I would see them here. And then one of the new features we have, which is the praise element, where I could go and actually compliment Mark on something that he helped me with, or a good job because I saw a presentation that I thought was really good and I wanted to share that information with other people. The last two screens are pretty quick, but one of them is the authoring canvas. It looks like a pretty blank slate, and that's exactly what it is. This is a new way to author pages in SharePoint, and for its first instance, it's a way to author a blog. And so what you would do here, and this is where kind of a demo goes a little bit farther, but you could add an image very quickly, a title and description, and then start to build out the content where you would bring in maybe a video, an image, a document, and right in line, it's very WYSIWYG, auto-save, very responsive design once you've published, and it's a very easy way to create pages, especially when you think about bringing in multimedia. It's very quick and easy, and when you publish it, it's a single URL you can send in an email. It's something that would come through Delve as a new element that people can discover. And ultimately, when they're reading it, they could read it on a 4-inch device up to that 82-inch device. So it's a really nice way to build pages in a more modern way and in a way that's a lot more user-friendly if you think about maybe building a SharePoint page a couple versions ago. And then finally, if you give somebody praise, it has that same experience of Yammer where it's in line. And it just slides out, give praise, and it slides away. Next two sections, I'm just looking at time, Mike. I don't want to go too far over.
Sure.
But really, I can certainly take questions on Delve. The next two sections, I think, are kind of the, yes, of course, SharePoint does team sites and portals. But I definitely wanted to click through those, and I apologize a little bit around time.
Well, let's see if we, real quick, do we have any Delve questions, Stephen?
Nothing Delve focused.
Nothing Delve specific. All right. Okay. So we can keep on cranking.
Sounds good. So really in a team site, if you've used SharePoint ever, or if you've heard about SharePoint, this is a place where you certainly can create your team's brand, your team's site for people to come learn about who's on the team, what they're working on. And if you're on the team, this is a place to get work done and collaborate with other people to set up your project timelines, obviously to work on content. And that's not just Office content, but certainly we have a very direct integration with Office from a authoring perspective. But it also could be a place where people build custom solutions as far as like a tech checkout. If you wanted to come and have hardware, a hardware solution for people to be able to check out different pieces of hardware from a physical room, they could go in and certainly do the work in SharePoint. But we really focus around content collaboration. For people to be engaged through the draft cycle, through the publish cycle, ultimately maybe through the archive cycle. And we start to talk about things like a document center or a record center at this level. But then to be extensible, this might just be configuring web parts on a page that do a number of different things for the team. But it also could be connections and integrations to other third-party services on the back end that then have the experience layer of a team site, but doesn't necessarily need to be highly designed or highly customized from a look and feel perspective. But certainly you could do that. And really it is across team sites where we focus more on teams getting things done versus like a portal where it might be more company-wide transactional or news and navigation oriented. So just a quick look at a team site.
Okay, real quickly, I'm just to let you know, I'll save it till the end. We did get a Delve question after we dived in. But we'll save that. So any questions, continue posting them, folks, and then we can take some questions at the end. But we're going to let Mark keep going.
Okay, so this is a basic team site that has an embedded PowerPoint. It's got a kind of a top documents that it's based on a document library with certain attributes for kind of a look and feel at the top level here. And then it's got, you know, a lot of different information in terms of common links that people maybe are associated to this team project or this team. And then your broader left-hand navigation for subsites, additional document libraries that were created. And each of these pages and document libraries can be configured in a way that's custom to the use of the team. And what I mean by that is if I had a document library that was meant to be able to support an event maybe of 40 people, each of them are providing 40 different presentations that I will then ultimately manage, I can create a rule that says show me all of the presentations, but only show the person who uploaded their presentation. And then when they navigate to the document library, they would see one of 40 documents. But I would get an alert that a new document's been created or been modified. If I wanted to, ultimately, then I could have them wrapped with the RMS service so that they could be rights managed. And there's a lot of things that I could do from a content management flow to get pre-conference all set up, to then be final, to then some point to archive it all so that I have a record of all of those presentations that were ultimately delivered publicly. And there's a way to do that, and it's very easy to configure, and that's just an example of what you might do in a team site. But moving on,
all right.
You'll see here another example where I've embedded a video like we saw before right alongside a PowerPoint, but at the same time, take a note at the very top where we're in the context of Office 365. To get to a lot of these sites, you would just click on the sites tile. They would take you to either sites that are programmed by your admin that would be available to navigate to by for everyone, or you could choose to follow a site so you would see a list of followed sites, or you would have something that is suggesting sites you might be interested in. And this is an area where we actually have some new innovation coming that's relatively small but I think important, where if you go to the sites tile soon, you will see also recent sites that you visited, and now suggested sites are actually going to come from the Office graph, not just the search crawler. So that you actually get that relevancy tuning of a site you might be interested in based on people you work with or content that you've been interested in. So it's another area where you'll see that we're investing off of the Office graph and really refining the experience to tune an area that we see as the fourth most popular destination when people are navigating and using Office 365. It is that sites tile. Under it, of course, are sites like this that people are building, or something like the company intranet, which is what I'll talk about next.
Awesome.
So when you think about custom portals, there's really a couple areas to cover here. One, it will just be an example screenshot of a custom portal to give you an idea of something that it's not a team site. It's something that's more company broad, and it certainly has a look and feel. And oftentimes, this is where people spend a lot of time and resource to make pages responsive. And the one that I have up here, you won't be able to tell it in a screenshot, but it does have responsive page built in. But it's not one of the common services. It is meant to be an example of a custom portal from a specific customer, Contoso. But if we click in, you'll start to see some of the elements that we really are tracking. And I think this is one of those, again, read the tea leaves a little bit around what we're doing with custom portals. And we talked a little bit about this at the Ignite conference. But we really do want to make sure that people are able to build as nice of an experience that they can for their end users, both from a developer and IT perspective, but at the same time, make sure that we have the underpinning infrastructure that's going to make these pages feel fresh with the Office graph. It's going to make them feel nice and fast in terms of the underlying content that gets loaded up that we own so that we can optimize. And if people are building a lot of custom components or configuring the pages in a lot of different ways, then we promote best practices and help people troubleshoot issues that they're having. And sometimes that is around performance if people load up too many of the same type of web part, or some of their images that they're choosing are too large, they can optimize things and still have a really great experience, but maybe just need a little bit of guidance. And there's a great website. I thought I had put the link here. It's across Office 365. It's aka.ms/tune, T-U-N-E. And that'll take you to where there's a lot of guidance around optimizing and troubleshooting performance of Office 365 all up. And we've got a couple nice sections for SharePoint Online. But the tea leaf reading really is the lower section here, where we're really looking at optimizing both how you can call into SharePoint and certainly to be able to then call outside of SharePoint. So that if we're focusing a lot on the content management side, And certainly a lot of the experience layer that we're building, we want to trade off, we want to hand that where if you're building your custom user interface, that you have the same tooling and the same capabilities that we have, and maybe even some of the components that we deliver in the future will make a lot of those custom builds go quicker and have some components that we own that then you don't have to build yourself. We also are doing this in a way that you're not having to build in a proprietary SharePoint way anymore, but you can really use some of those industry standard tools, HTML5 and JavaScript and a lot of those common components, and that opens up so that you don't have to have just a SharePoint developer build all and everything, but that you could really bring in somebody that's maybe more web design focused to help build that design and experience layer, and then maybe the SharePoint developer or your deeper developer is building and working with some of the richer APIs connecting to our services or third-party services. And of course, we will leverage Azure a lot. You already saw that with Office 365 Video. That's also the underpinning of a lot of SharePoint. Even if you're just using some of the basis of a team site, a lot of the actions, if you're doing a workflow, as an example, will get published to Azure so that we optimize where the workflow runs, how the workflow then interacts with the team site and the end user, and it really gets us beyond to open up a lot of broader solutions and different capabilities. And for a developer, if you've ever thought about Azure, it's a huge environment to really optimize both the experience to end user so you can scale across worldwide, but really is starting to be an area where you can quickly design and develop solutions that bring together a whole host of services, especially something like the Microsoft Graph, where you really have one endpoint to rule them all, and really that impetus is taking a lead in what they're doing in Azure, and again, how we're taking advantage of that in Office 365. So to wrap up very quickly is just a screenshot of what a custom intranet looks like, and the couple components here are articles and pages coming from across the company intranet and highlighted here in a way that at the top left is just a JavaScript box that's showing a number of different articles. On the right, you see an embedded Yammer feed. And then down below, you'll see videos that are in a carousel here on the main page, but would ultimately lead to you viewing a video that's coming from Office 365 Video. Just leveraging the embed code that we talked about earlier with a little JavaScript to give it a little nice look and feel. Of course, finger friendly if you're on a tablet here. When you click to view, we're viewing it in HTML5 video player, and ultimately you have a nice solution that you can then customize and build around by nature of what we offer through SharePoint and the, sort of the UI elements, but really then tapping into those back-end services. It may be programmatically through API, it may be as something as simple as populating with embed code and then taking advantage of that playback experience that we have natively. So there's a lot of opportunity here, and this is just a tip of the iceberg, because of course there's a ton of different services that Exchange provides, a lot of things around Power BI that you could tap into, CRM and customer resource information that you could pull from services like CRM Online, CRM On-Prem, or other services that are third party. This is just an experience layer that you can pull a lot of things together. And it's just an example of what the Contoso company, who is very famous for sometimes doing things like furniture build out or manufacturing or whatever it is that is helpful to understand about what this company does. But beyond that, a little tip of the hat of what we'll talk about next week, but really is, I think, the end result of when you start to think about SharePoint and where you have it today, or if you start investing in it in tomorrow, whether that's investment on premises or online. There's a real hybrid element that brings together a lot of these scenarios so that your broader intranet, which is really the whole topic of today, is embraced in both a natural way that people navigate from maybe an HR portal that's still on-premises to Office 365 Video that's running up in the cloud, all the way across these different areas, whether you're working only internally with your company and colleagues or starting to work externally through an extranet. There are a lot of ways to configure both just the simple deployment, but also the experience and the access to other people to be able to then collaborate with them beyond the walls. Hybrid will give you a lot more opportunity, and it may be a reality of how you start to think about using and moving that journey to the cloud and taking advantage of things on the left, like you see here, Yammer, Dell, OneDrive, Video. These will all be more natively integrated from a hybrid perspective to be able to then navigate from on-premises into online. And similar to the question that somebody had around that single sign-on for Yammer, to be able to then navigate between these properties is something that we have a lot of build in 2013 and specifically in SharePoint 2016, a much broader landscape for being able to make those hybrid connections. And with that, that's really the tail end of what I wanted to cover today. The next topic will go into much more depth around hybrid that will take into consideration portals and sites and what we talked about today, but it'll go much deeper into other hybrid experiences, both single sign-on, search, and then the experiences across SharePoint 2013, SharePoint 2016, and SharePoint Online in the cloud.
So I want to be respectful of your time, so you let me know. Do you have a few minutes to answer any questions?
Yeah,
okay.
I have a few minutes, and I apologize for
Over. This was awesome. There's no apologies needed. So
okay.
Why don't we come out of full screen, Stephen? Oh, we are. So we can see both of us. So, Stephen, what's our first question? We had a Delve one.
Can Delve work across on-prem and online?
Can Delve work across on-premise and online?
Yeah, the answer is yes. In the SharePoint 2016 timeframe, and soon, shortly after, we'll backport the same capability into SharePoint 2013. But I don't want to oversell it in the way that people might misunderstand it. So I'll be pretty clear. The Delve service, which is the UI component that we showed screenshots of, is a part of what you get in Office 365. And certainly the Office graph that's built off the index of the the SharePoint search indexer, that is another component that runs and lives in Office 365. But actually the demo that we showed, which if you want to go and really see it in action, it's a really nice thorough demo that my colleague Bill Baer did in Stockholm a couple of weeks ago for the European SharePoint conference. But ultimately, after you connect an on-premises search index to the online index, which is what we call hybrid search, ultimately, the index itself, once you're in a hybrid state, lives in SharePoint Online or within actually an Azure blob, but connected and protected in the same way behind the same SLA of Office 365. Once you've done that and you've made that connection, Delve then feeds off of that index, and that then layer of the Office graph, which lives in Office 365, gives you an experience of Delve that to the end user, it'll still look like the Delve activity feed. But as you start to actually look and see where does this content come from, some of the content in the feed might come from online, some of the content might come from on-premises, and then it's really up to, well, where does your content live? And maybe Delve, once it's connected in that way and configured, doesn't actually care. It just is showing you an element from the index with the relevancy that says, why am I seeing this element? Oh, it's because you are now working with Mike Gennady, and so you're going to see some of his content. Well, some of his content might be on a team site that's still on-premises, but because it's searched and crawled and shared through the Office graph, ultimately delivered through the Delve UI, I would see that. And so that's certainly something that we support. It is currently in a beta because where we're at with SharePoint 2016. But once it goes GA, certainly the ability is already available to test. But it is something that will be available through SharePoint 2016 natively after you obviously do some IT configuration. But the service will be available through Office 365 to make the connection. But it is something that we announced at Ignite that we will also support in a future release, a service pack update to SharePoint 2013 as well.
All right, next question.
Will the new way of authoring pages in Delve eventually make its way in publishing pages for basic intranet site collection?
So I don't know. Did you hear that, Mark?
I heard the question
okay.
around what I showed in Delve, we currently call the authoring canvas. And we certainly, even when we announced the authoring canvas, really as the backbone to creating blogs within the Delve experience, the Delve UI in the profile has a blog that will point to either your old blog if you haven't created a new page since we introduced it, but it certainly will point you to those new pages. And it has a responsive design to it, both in the when you see a set of pages that have been created. But ultimately, what we've sort of teased at is we want to use the authoring canvas for building out pages in SharePoint. We think that in the future, that will be a page in a team site. We think there will be other opportunities for us to be able to offer sort of a first-party experience for creating new pages, again, in a modern way, and in iterations of it going beyond the scenario of a blog. And it's also something that as a component we've been requested by developers is that a component that we can build into our own solutions? So again, not necessarily exposing any final planning because we're still working on some of those further down the road future plans. But it is an area where we think that, yes, extensibility of creating pages in this new way will go beyond the Delve profile. A lot more to come in terms of when we're going to share more depth and certainly get a little bit more rigor on timing. But definitely think of authoring a blog today in Office 365 is just the tip of the hat of really how you'll think about building SharePoint pages in the future.
So I know Steven said we had 5 questions. That might take a while.
Okay.
Do you want to answer all 5 or we want to cap it at 2
over? I'll follow your lead. I have still about 15 minutes.
Okay.
Where I need to go to is about this far away.
All right. Well, let's go ahead. Next question, Steven.
Are there any plans for Delve Web Parts, like a feed?
So Delve Web Parts, are there any plans for Delve Web Parts like a feed, he asked.
Yeah, I know the ask. Certainly today with the Microsoft Graph, which has a component that ultimately pulls through the Office Graph API, you could do that in a custom build. And there's a lot of our ISVs that are already doing this because we've been working with them for a while. But if there are native web parts that we will deliver, I think you can start to think of it. I don't have any distinct plans that I can share. But I know that the concept, just to get it clear and think out what I think the person is asking, is today we offer an API call through the search and the search index through a web part that we call the content by search web part.
Yep.
And it's a very powerful way to add personalization. And it's actually a part of what was the makeup of that Contoso portal that I showed you for those news articles. That's actually a content by search web part with a little bit of JavaScript for look and feel. It's pulling together the top 10 articles with X attribute from the search crawler. But it is an area where I think it's a good way to think about if we were to, what it would look like. I don't have anything definitive to share around that. Yes, we will deliver a Delve web part. It's a bit of a separate team when it comes to those components. And they don't have anything to share. But I think in terms of if you were to do a custom build and you were to add in the Office Graph API intelligence, and from a developer's perspective, it's very possible today. And it is an area of interest in terms of, what if we were to offer that natively? So we have heard the feedback. I'll just double down and say we've heard the feedback again today, so that's great to hear. And if you kind of think of what's possible for a developer today, it's definitely within the realm of possibility.
Awesome. Next question, Stephen.
We were exploring using Delve to essentially keep an organization-wide skills matrix. Can I create a form and add fields from a SharePoint list in Delve?
So I don't know. Did you hear that, Mark?
It sounded a little bit. I couldn't tell
I'll reiterate. So he said there, this organization was looking to create a skills matrix based upon the information they're populating into the profile. And they wanted to know if they could build, what was it, a form?
Can they create a form and add fields from a SharePoint list in Delve?
So they wanted to know if, and I think I know the answer, but they wanted to know if they could create a form, add fields that would essentially from SharePoint add metadata in the profile. And we do that with the edit profile, correct?
Yeah, there are some components that might be just simple metadata on the profile, whether that's shown through our Delve profile, the UI, or is something that pulls through Active Directory. But I think maybe the question is asking a little bit of how can I extend the look and feel of the profile. That might be in the new in the vernacular of talking about web parts. It is certainly an area that we have got a lot of feedback around. I would like to customize the Delve profile. We are currently adding customizations to the profile. One of the things that we showed you was the praise.
Yep.
After you give somebody praise, that praise will land on their profile, and that is basically a third-party component of the overall Delve, a first-party component of the overall Delve profile page. We think the patterns that we're following are something that we can replicate for third parties or custom build for IT to be able to put in something more of a widget. And if you're talking about something like a skill set, we're actually working on a component that we showed. And there's a screenshot example of something that we're thinking about that kind of uses machine learning to show what it is you're working on. And as the end user, you would validate what your skills are and have that push through. It's not yet landed on the roadmap, but I do think it's coming relatively soon.
Cool.
But the ability to extend or use a custom web part or a custom build of an element onto the profile page is something that the engineering team would like to support in terms of they have received that feedback and they do think it would be important enough to do. I don't have yet a time frame and not a lot of information of the how, but I do think it's an area that will be able to be extended, maybe not as highly as a custom portal, but from a zone or a web part perspective, it's a good way to think about what we're thinking.
Steven, I see you leaning forward with another question.
Yes. If it is using SharePoint behind the scenes, how does that impact the sizing of the content database for collection?
Yeah,
or site collection, or does it?
So this is I get this a lot, and this is the one I tell people, don't worry. But the question mark was, if it's using SharePoint behind the scenes, how does that affect the content database? And what I always tell customers is, look, that's our problem. That's not yours.
Yeah, hopefully there's value in these pages and content ultimately that maybe is on the pages. And if they live in SharePoint, that's a lot of what you'll see coming through Delve. Certainly something in a document library, on a team site, in OneDrive for Business, put through groups in a group file folder, wherever it may live. But ultimately, Delve also shows things or indicates things beyond SharePoint. So you might get something that came through as an email attachment through Exchange or Outlook. You might have a website that somebody posted in a Yammer thread come through as a card in Delve. So it's not all stored in SharePoint, but it's stored in a way that, again, is crypted. It's, will meet the SLA of uptime and all that good stuff that the Office 365 holds up.
Irrespective for them, wherever we're storing it in 365, that's not something they need to worry about as far as the sizing and all that around.
To know that if you create one of these pages in SharePoint, you are creating a page within a site collection, which then is bound by the good practice of how we back it up, how we restore it, how you access it, what you can do with it. And the promise of SharePoint Online really is just a page is a very lightweight site, is one way to think about it. And there's value in, of course, where we put it and how we put it there, but maybe extremely abstracted to the end user. They are just reading content and being able to then access it, share it, comment on it, those kinds of things. But it doesn't break any of the rules beyond what we promised for SharePoint Online. And in that context, it is no different.
All right, Steven, two questions.
Okay.
Is the video carousel a new web part to hook into the video hub?
So I don't know if you saw, he said, is the video carousel a new web part that can be hooked into the video hub?
No, I'll take it as a great idea, but what I showed you was custom JavaScript that we had built just as an example
for a
of
homepage.
How you can bring in multiple videos that are of like type, or maybe we programmed it against bring in the top 10 videos of a certain channel. I think it gets back to the question around, will there be a video web part? I don't know. But as far as the how it was built, if you ask the developer, they're like, I just used the video API with a little JavaScript and maybe a couple of overlay graphics. And that would be hard for me. I'm not a developer. But when I put that as an ask, because I own that build out of the Contoso for demos, it was a pretty easy ask and something that would be relatively easy for a developer.
Very cool. And last question, Stephen.
There was an article that stated customers should not focus on SharePoint and Yammer since Groups is being integrated with Exchange and provides the same functionality. What are your thoughts on that?
So I don't know if you heard it, Mark, but he said this gets to the Groups question. And he said there was an article that said not to focus on the Yammer integration with SharePoint because Groups with using Exchange is really the direction. So I don't know if you wanted to say anything about Groups and kind of the direction and difference there.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, the broadcast has cut out. There will be no Groups assessed in this broadcast. No, I'm just kidding. I love Groups, and I love to add clarity around Groups. I don't see Groups being competitive with Yammer. I do get that there is overlap in terms of the functionality. But if you think about Groups, not just the singular where you might be having a group conversation, that's one element of Groups, that there is a conversation that lives in Exchange, has a more of an email look and feel to it, of course, is experienced natively through Outlook Web App and now through Outlook 2016. But that's just one part of Groups. Groups is really just an Active Directory construct, meaning it's an alias. It's a group of people. And as that group, literally a group in Active Directory, gets applied to the conversation, all of those people now can participate in that thread, in that email exchange. But take it beyond the thread, which is, there's a ton beyond the thread, and I'll certainly, if you, that person wants to follow up with me directly, I'll send them to a really great recent groups presentation done by a guy named Christoph Feisinger. But there are other elements where groups will play into if I wanted to have a group calendar, if I wanted to have a group task using Planner, if I wanted to soon, and they've announced, using the group construct in a Yammer group so that that same permissions model applies to now a Yammer thread, you can do that. But there's other areas where the groups certainly will have a set of files that they manage. Mm-hmm. So that, let's say there's a 10 people in the group, all the group's aspect is doing is giving that same 10 people the same permissions to that document library. And if you're in group and you're looking at the thread, you choose a drop down that says take me to the group files, it navigates over to the group files. And the main element of groups is that all 10 people will now have access to those files. And that will keep going. There's a lot of innovation that they're bringing to groups.
Yep.
So that it can integrate better with Yammer, can integrate better with Office 365 Video, can integrate better with other elements of Exchange and SharePoint Online. And all it is a really simple way for me, not IT person, to be able to create a group, which ultimately becomes a nice object in Active Directory, that then I can apply across the suite or different areas so that those people have the same access in a way that I didn't have to make the request, they don't get failure when they try to access the service. And so groups is the glue beyond, glue between all those services, not in competition with something like Yammer.
Very nice. So, Mark, I want to thank you. This was awesome today. We'll certainly, when we archive the presentation from today, we'll put up the links that you've given here as well. And we look forward to seeing you next week. So I'm going to let you go get to your meeting. But thank you so much. We appreciate it, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you for making it easy. And obviously, thanks, everybody, for their time and questions. That was really great. Thanks.
Awesome. So I will talk to you later and have a great
day,
Mark. All right.
All right. See you next week. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks. So for those who are still have hung with us, I want to thank you for attending today's presentation. As Mark mentioned, next week he will be back and we'll be talking about hybrid. So if you have questions, and I know a lot of you do, have questions around hybrid, SharePoint on-premise and things that you're doing on-premise and integrating that with your Office 365 cloud presence. We'll have Mark back to talk about that to answer your questions. As you saw, we ran almost 30 minutes later today so we can make sure we answered your questions. We want to encourage that. The following week, we'll have Mark Mraz from the Office 360, the Video for Office 365 group. He's going to be deep diving into all that so you can really get your questions answered around that. So have your folks from internal communications, marketing, et cetera, asking, attending. We want to have them answered live, so be sure to tune in. Thank you for tuning in today. With that, this is Mike Giannotti and
Steve Castellani
bidding you have a great day. Take care, and as always, folks, ciao.